Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. Have the secretary call the roll, please.
Bonus?
Aye.
Dixon?
Here.
Freeman?
Was that Freeman?
Freeman? Yes. Holzbauer?
Here.
Larson? Hutmaker.
Here. Okay, I'll note a quorum present to conduct business. First thing that I want to do is read this. I'd like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants please identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Participants should also remember to unmute their microphones only when speaking. The meeting is being recorded and the audio will be made available online after the meeting. Find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions Portal. Follow the link to the selected name Water Management Board. If there are members of the Legislative Oversight Committee participating in the meeting remotely, please acknowledge yourself now. Apparently, we don't have anybody. Next thing on the is to adopt the final agenda. Do we have additions or corrections?
I have nothing from the room here.
Okay. Is there a motion to adopt the final agenda?
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I would move approval or adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to the motion?
Holzbauer seconds.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Holzbauer. Is there further discussion on the motion to adopt the final agenda? Hearing none, secretary will call the roll, please.
Comis?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
And Hutmaker?
Aye. Motion carried. The agenda is adopted. Do we have any conflicts, disclosures, or requests for state board waivers? Any conflicts? Hearing none, we'll go on. Next thing on the agenda is approval of the July 10th minutes. Do anyone have corrections or additions to the minutes? Hearing no corrections or additions, is there a motion to approve the minutes of July 10th?
So moved, Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to the motion to approve the minutes?
Comis second.
Thank you, Mr. Comis. Further discussion on the motion to approve the minutes? Hearing none, the secretary will please call the roll.
Comis?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
And Hutmaker?
Aye. Motion carried. Minutes are approved. The next thing on the agenda is set December 4th and 5th, 2024. Meeting dates and locations. Ron?
Would suggest the dates that are on the agenda, the location and pier, and I'll also note that at least at this point in time, there will be a contested case that's heard in December, so less prone to a remote meeting, I guess I'll put it that way, given that.
Okay, does anyone have problems with December 4th and 5th? Hearing none, we'll set the date December 4th and 5th, 2024 in Pier. Thank you. This is time for our public comment period. Do we have any public commenters? You're entitled to 3 minutes before we start.
There's no one from the public in the room, and I don't see anybody online either.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask one more time. Public commenters. Hearing none, we'll move on. Status and review of water rights litigation.
This is David McVeigh. There's not anything really to report. The McCook Lake matters are still pending before the Supreme Court. Ostensibly, briefing's going to probably be in November, December, but other than that, there's no update.
Okay, anyone have questions of David? Hearing none, I'm assuming Carla's there to administer the oath to DENR staff?
Yes, she is.
Do each of you solemnly swear the testimony you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Do.
Thank you, Carla. Cancellation and considerations. Amanda.
Okay.
Yep, there you go.
All right. I want to start out by addressing a typo on the cancellation list. The columns for present owner and previous owners were transposed. Present owners and other persons notified should be listed as the City of Custer, Phillips Property, and so on down the line, with previous owners containing not applicable for all except for National Food Stores Incorporated. National Food Stores Incorporated. Other than those columns be transposed, the chart is entirely accurate. There are 9 permits and water rights scheduled for your review for cancellation this morning due to either abandonment, forfeiture, or non-construction. All of these permit and water right holders were notified of the pending cancellation back in August. We received no petitions opposing any of these listed cancellations. Were there any questions about cancellations listed for today's meeting?
Any questions of the board for the cancellations presented? Any questions? Hearing none. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to approve the cancellation list as corrected?
Mr. Chair, this is Freeman. I would move cancellation of the water rights and water permits as set forth on the cancellations chart for Division 1 and Division 3.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to the motion?
This is Dixon. Is that Division 2 and 3?
Yes.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Dixon. Got a motion and a second. Is there further discussion on the cancellations? Further discussion on the cancellations? Hearing none, Secretary will call the roll, please.
Comas?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Huttmaker?
Aye. Motion carried. Next thing on the agenda, unopposed water permits issued based on Chief Engineer's recommendations. We do have a commenter, but he is not an intervener, apparently.
Correct. In your board packet, you got a list of the unopposed new water permit applications that were issued based on the Chief Engineer's recommendation. At the bottom of the first page is the one on which we received a comment. That would be for 8858-3 Plainview Dairy, LLC. I don't know how much you want me to go into report. I'll just give you a general overview of what that permit application involved. But it is on the list of unimposed permits because it was a comment that was received and not a petition. It requires filing a petition for a contested case hearing to be held. It was a comment, so the permit has been issued. But by law, we need to provide those comments to the board, so we're doing that. So if you have any questions about their concerns, we'll try and address them. But the application itself is about 5 miles northwest of Toronto. It's a proposed dairy operation. What they want to do is capture some of the runoff from the site itself, surface runoff from drive from roads and from roof areas amounting to about 30 acres of area in two retention ponds, and then they would use that water in a dairy separator building. So that was public noticed, and we did receive a comment from Troy Lenning in response to that application. I took a quick look. His concern was about water availability downstream. He mentioned cattle. He also mentioned a stock dam that he has on the creek. I'm not entirely sure where those are at, how far downstream, but I did look at the drainage areas quickly just to get some sense of this 30 acres and how that compared with the entire drainage area. It's between a couple tributaries to Peg Monkey Creek, and it looked to me like the site where the facility is located is really split between two tributaries that run into Peg Monkey Creek. So I don't know if he's on the tributary immediately below or on Peg Monkey Creek, but it would be about 15 acres in each one. So one of those tributaries had about a 1,200 acre drainage. The other one had about 700 acre drainage. And if he's on Peg Monkey Creek itself, there's an additional 1,500 acres of drainage that would be available to him and then others downstream as well. So given the footprint being 30 acres and that potentially being split 15 each tributary, he may not even be impacted by the full 30. So I don't think that would change what we had recommended and what the basis was for issuing the permit. So any questions, I'll try and answer them.
Okay, hey, thank you, Ron. Any questions of the board on that comment? Any questions about any of the water permits that are unopposed? Is there a motion to approve the unopposed permits?
Well, there's no need for a motion. They're already, in fact,
that's right.
Issued. So this was for the board's information is why we're doing this. And answer questions if you had any.
Okay, thanks, Ron. We're going to move on to the next item, which is consider validation of requested vested water rights claim number 1844-3, South Dakota Game Fish and Parks for Richmond Dam.
We've done a few of these recently. This is another one. Between 1955 and 1986, there was statutory authority in place for people to file vested water right claims. And as those claims were filed, they were simply recognized. That did not involve any kind of public notice whatsoever. They were just filings that we received here in the office. In 1986, there was legislation passed to actually do more than just recognize these. It was to validate all the vested rights that have been claims that have been filed up until that date. This is one of them. This is a claim, vested water right claim, involves Richmond Dam, which is located northwest of Aberdeen. And what was done back in 88, I believe it was a notice was published. All these recognized vested water right claims had to undergo public notice. That was done for this one, as well as many, many others. In response to that public notice, people had the opportunity to petition to intervene, and we did that ourselves as the department. We opposed the validation of this vested water right claim, as we did with nearly all Game Fish and Parks claims. And the reason we filed a petition in opposition was to, I'll just read what it said, to include a spillway elevation, to correct the amount of water claimed, or to add any amendments and qualifications necessary to clarify a vested right claim. In the case of Richmond Dam, we didn't have an elevation of the spillway, so we opposed validation until such time that we could get that done. Richmond Dam is in need of a spillway repair. There's been surveying done now of the current spillway elevation. Its intent is to put in a new spillway at the same elevation, as well as do some other repairs or some seepage issues also. So that's all to come, but we do have an elevation now, so we're bringing this back to the board and recommending that the board validate it. In your board packet, you should have received the notice of hearing dated August 16th for this matter to be brought to the board. We have not heard anything from Game Fish and Parks, nor did I really expect we would. And then along with that is also the recommendation of the chief engineer recommending validation and recommending validation for sufficient water to maintain the water level to Richmond Dam's primary spillway elevation of 1360.6 feet mean sea level NABDD 88. And then the vested right retains the priority date of the original claim, which was January 1st, 1935. Questions?
Thank you, Ron. Does the board have any questions, Ron? Any questions of Ron? The only question I would have is, what if they don't continue to put their spillway in like they're planning?
Well, it's the elevation of the current spillway. If they don't replace it, they don't replace it. There's actually been money appropriated to do this work. I think there's probably some more going to be needed. Okay. But the intent is to put the new spillway in at the same elevation.
Okay. All right. I'm assuming we need a motion to do this, don't we?
Yeah, a motion to validate vested water right claim 1844-3.
So, given that, and there's no questions, is there a motion to validate Western Vested Water Right Claim 1844-3 for South Dakota Game Fish and Parks?
So, Chairman Freeman, again, I would move validation of 1844-3.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to that motion?
Dixon, second.
Okay, we've got a second by Ms. Dixon. Further discussion on the motion to validate the vested water right. Further discussion on the motion. Hearing none, the secretary will call the roll, please.
Gomez?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Yes, aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
And Huttmaker?
Aye. Motion carried. Do we have to wait for 10 o'clock to do these next permits, Ron?
I don't believe so. I was just looking at the agenda, and It states scheduled times are based on central time and are estimated start times, which to me means they're just estimates. They're a non-binding suggestion as to what time I may start. So I don't think waiting is necessary.
Okay, thank you, David. With that, consider water permit application number 8579-3, Brent Gusmiller. Welcome, Whitney.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Whitney Kiltz. I'm an engineer with the South Dakota Water Rights Program, and I prepared the rather lengthy reports on these applications. So there's a lot of overlap between the reports on these two applications, so I'm going to give a broad narrative overview and cover both of them at the same time, if there's no objection to that. And I will note that I have a cold, so I might have to pause for a sip of water or to cough. So water permit application 8579-3 proposes to appropriate water for the irrigation of 32 acres at a maximum instantaneous diversion rate of 0.89 cubic feet per second from one well to be completed into the Niobrara aquifer. Both the proposed well and the proposed acres for irrigation are located in the northeast of the northeast section 18 township 97 North, Range 56 West in Hutchinson County. The applicant is requesting a diversion rate greater than the statutory limit of 1 cubic feet per second per 70 acres. The site is located approximately 4 miles southeast of Meadow, South Dakota. The water permit application number 8616-3 proposes the irrigation of an additional 21 acres with no additional diversion rate from three wells completed into the Niobrara aquifer authorized by water permit number 7344-3. These additional acres were identified as part of the licensing inspection for water permit number 7344-3. The inspection found the system capable of diverting 2.56 cubic feet per second from the existing wells. Combined, this application of approved and water permit number 7344-3 will authorize a total diversion rate of 2.56 cubic feet per second for irrigation of 420 acres in portions of Section 8 and Section 9 in Township 98 North, Range 56 West. The site is located in Hutchinson County, approximately 2 miles southwest of Freeman, South Dakota. For this overview, when I reference figure numbers or page numbers in a report, I will be using the referencing the report for application number 8579-3, which is the application for Brett Guthmiller. Both of these applications were received in early 2022 and were either deferred or held in abeyance while the Water Rights Program evaluated an unlawful impairment issue of two domestic wells in the general area of these two applications. In January 2023, the Water Rights Program was notified that the two wells involved with this unlawful impairment issue had been transitioned to connections to the rural water system. So they were the two domestic wells in question had been replaced by connections to a rural water system. The Niobrara Formation is a late Cretaceous age formation that is a mix of chalk, marl, and shale, and occurs extensively throughout South Dakota. This formation is not an aquifer over the entirety of its extent, and water movement in this aquifer has been identified as being mainly through fractures and solution cavities. And where these features are absent, the formation is generally low permeability or almost no permeability that transmits little or no water. In southeastern South Dakota, portions of the Niobrara Formation were isolated from the main body of the formation through original quotas. These two applications are located within one of these erosional remnants. The extent of this remnant is shown in figure 2 on page 4. Throughout this erosional remnant, there are well completion reports indicating water, so generally this remnant does have areas where it acts as an aquifer. For this portion of the Niobrara aquifer, potentiometric surfaces from different time periods were compiled or created, and those are shown in figures 3 through 6. These potentiometric surface maps indicate that water movement is generally from the center of this portion of the Niobrara aquifer towards the edge, and recharge to this portion of the Niobrara is through infiltration of precipitation and infiltration from adjacent or overlying aquifers such as the Turkey Ridge Aquifer. A natural discharge from this portion of the Niobrara is to glacial aquifers located in the surrounding bedrock valleys. There is no estimate of recharge to the Niobrara aquifer. However, the potentiometric surface maps that were generated can be used to estimate natural discharge from this aquifer. Natural discharge estimates can then be used to gain an understanding of the approximate amount of recharge that an aquifer is receiving, assuming the change in storage of water in the aquifer is at or near zero. The relationship of natural discharge to recharge is shown in equations 2 and 3 on page 18. The total estimate of natural discharge from this aquifer ranges from 2,488 to 2,693 acre feet per year. The estimated appropriative use from this portion of the Niobrara aquifer using the standard water rights methodology for estimation, including these two applications, is 1,801 acre feet per year. Using these estimates of natural discharge and appropriate use, there indicates a reasonable probability that water is available for appropriation from this portion of the Niobrara aquifer over its overall extent. Moving on to the observation well data. If the board recalls, when these permits initially were either deferred or moved into abeyance, part of this looking at the domestic well issue was installing two new observation wells in the area. The hydrographs for these new observation wells are located in figure 8 on page 12. Oh, sorry, the location of these new observation wells are located on figure 8 on page 12. And then the hydrographs for those two new wells are in figure 9 on page 14. The observation wells showing the longer term data for this aquifer are shown in figures 10 and 11. Overall, the observation wells monitoring this aquifer generally rise during wet periods and decline to stable levels during dry periods. This type of behavior, along with the aquifer's recovery following the irrigation season, is indicative that climatic conditions, and therefore the effects of recharge to a natural discharge from the aquifer, are governing the long-term water level fluctuations in this aquifer instead of pumping. Since recharge to a natural discharge from an aquifer can be captured from pumping, the observation well data is indicating that overall there's a reasonable probability that unappropriated water is available from this portion of the Niobrara. Moving on to the unlawful impairment section of the reports. So as mentioned previously, the history of the unlawful impairment to domestic users here, both of those domestic users have connected to rural water. At the location of both of these applications, the aquifer is expected to be under confined conditions. This summary of the unlawful impairment information will primarily focus on application 8579-3, Since the additional acres requested by 8616-3 were already developed at the time of the complaint being received and were believed to have been in irrigation at that time. So the area, this portion of the aquifer has always already been experiencing the effects of those additional acres being irrigated. During the 2022 irrigation season, appropriative pumping was shut down in the areas of observation wells HT 2022A and HT 2022B. These were the two new observation wells that were put in. The time period of that shutdown was July 20th, 2022 to July 27th, 2022. Figure 13 on page 30 shows how the water levels at the two observation wells responded to that shutdown. The water level data from HT-2022B and other observation wells in this aquifer were utilized to create an estimated potentiometric surface map for this area of the aquifer for the fall 2022 time period, and looked at specifically the potential of the two impaired wells and one well in the area with no history of complaints with it to look at the potential for unlawful impairment. The location of these wells are shown in figure B2 on page 39. That analysis indicated that during a combination of dry climatic conditions and the cumulative effects of heavy irrigation pumping, if there's further appropriative development in this area, this portion of the Niobrara could potentially encounter some short-term unlawful impairments to existing adequate domestic wells, even beyond the domestic users that have already connected to rural water. However, once those users connected to rural water, there were no additional complaints in this area from the irrigation pumping once the pumping resumed after the July 27th, 2022 shutdown was lifted. The chief engineer recommended approval for both of these applications. The recommendation for approval included the typical qualification that well withdrawals must be controlled so there is not a reduction of needed water supplies in adequate domestic wells or in adequate wells having prior water rights. The recommendation also included a note to the applicants emphasizing the history of the area so they would understand the history of shutdowns and potential for unlawful impairment. Water permit application 8579-3 did request for the irrigation rate to exceed 1 cubic feet per second per 70 acres. The pivot being the method of irrigation requested by this permit is by center pivot. Since this is a short span, a shorter span than a full quarter, occasionally in order to operate properly, the 1 cubic feet per second per 70 acres rate is sometimes exceeded. Historically, this exceedance has been allowed based on the method of irrigation. And with that, that's the summary of these permits, and I'm ready for questions if the board has any.
Does anyone on the board have questions about the water permits? Any questions from Whitney? Hearing none. Is there a motion to approve the permits?
I would suggest approving the permits individually as opposed to one motion for both.
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
Well, this is Freeman. I'd move approval of water permit application 8579-3, Brett Guttmiller.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to the motion? Is there a second to the motion to approve?
This is Comas. I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Comas. Further discussion on the motion for water permit application 8579-3. Further discussion on the motion to approve. Hearing none, the secretary will call the roll, please.
Comas?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Guttmacher?
Aye. Motion carried. Is there a motion on approval of 8616-30?
Well, this is Freeman again. I'll move approval of 8616-3, Michael Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to the motion?
Dixon, this is Coleman, so.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Dixon. We have a motion and a second. Further discussion on the motion to approve the permit, 8616-3. Further discussion on the motion. Hearing none, secretary will please call the roll.
Comas?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Guttmacher?
Aye. Motion carried. Next thing on the agenda, draft report concerning James River Management. Britton Hullinger.
Not Britton, but she'll be here shortly. I just wanted to lay out a couple things so the board understands where we're heading with this report. You should have received it in your board packet, this draft report that Britton prepared. And by the way, I think she did an excellent job putting it together. But here's what I want to just put before the board so you understand where we're coming from. As you may recall, the last couple board meetings, you deferred applications to appropriate water from the James River. The reason those were deferred is because we have reached that 300 cubic feet of water per second threshold on the James River. And given the situation with increased flows in the last 30 years or so, we thought it warranted a look at the James River flows and managing water and what we should do with these applications that have been deferred. So that was the basis for creating this report that's been provided to you. There's a couple things we would like from the board today. Number one, after Britton gets up here and presents an overview of her report, we would like any feedback that the board may have on the content of that report, or if you have any questions about the content in the report, then please do ask Britton. And then secondly, after Britton's done, I would like to pop back up here again and then present to the board how we would like to publicize this report with the idea that it would be brought back to you at the December 4th board meeting, potentially to be adopted. So I will describe what we would like to do to let people know about this. But so with that, I'll let Britton come up and share with you her overview.
Okay, thank you, Ron.
Good morning.
Good morning, Britton.
Okay, so this report came about due to an influx of new applications earlier this year requesting to irrigate from the James River. There is currently a set appropriation threshold of 300 cubic feet per second on the river set by the Water Resources Commission in 1965, and the current appropriation is close to that threshold. A preliminary review in March of this year showed that there is more water flowing through the river than there was pre-1990s. Almost 300% more annual mean spring flow in water years 2010 to 2019 compared to water years 1960 to 1969 at the USGS gauge near Scotland. These increases equate to an average of 1,269,679 acre-feet more water being transported downstream every year. The preliminary review found that a more thorough investigation was justified for the influx of applications to determine how much water could be available to appropriate beyond the current threshold by using all available data and methods, and to investigate the increase of stream flow on the James River, possible causes to that, and whether it's reasonable to predict future flow conditions on the river. Using conservative methods to determine availability, flow exceedance probabilities were calculated for each month of the irrigation season for three stream gauges that have historically been used to manage the James River. This would be the USGS gauge at Ashton, at Huron, and near Scotland, using all daily discharge data from 1946 to 2023. Using the 50% exceedance probabilities for the month of August, while maintaining the August 10th cutoff date, as well as determining availability at a gauge using flow data during years where pumping occurred, there is a reasonable probability that water is available on the James River for appropriation. The increase in stream flow has been well documented in multiple publications and is concurrent with my own investigation. Climate is the dominant likely force causing the increase in the stream flow. There have been increases in mean precipitation in every South Dakota county that the James River runs through, ranging from an 8% increase to a near 17% increase when comparing data from the years 1901 to 1960 compared to 1991 to 2023. However, it is also well documented that eastern North and South Dakota and parts of Canada are prone to long-term, multi-decade fluctuations between wet and dry periods, and that this may only be one wet period within a larger cycle, which goes to say that the increased stream flow may not continue into the future. Based on the best available information, it is recommended that the board consider approving applications beyond the 300 cubic foot per second threshold to maximize use of the resource and also include qualifications for new applications to protect existing water users. This is not a contested case hearing, but a draft just being brought before the board to seek input from board members as well as from the public. And I'll invite Ron back up here to explain that process a little bit more. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Britton before she sits down? She tried to get away, but...
Yeah, no, we're not going to let her off that easy. Any board members have questions of Britton on the report? I would have a question. Is this from global warming?
It generally... Yes, but how much of it is human caused is unknown. is what was determined.
Okay, anyone else have questions? You did a good job in your report.
Thank you.
Okay, Ron, I think you're up again.
So what we would like to do is take Britton's report and then solicit some input from the public. And what our plan would be is to send personal notice to all water right holders on the James River, as well as putting in a display ad in all the newspapers through which the James River runs. And I will just kind of briefly read through what we intend to send to those permit holders, and basically about the same thing to go into the newspaper. The State Water Management Board has directed that a draft report detailing proposed changes to management of James River water use be made available for public comment. The effect of the proposed changes, if adopted by the board, is to allow additional beneficial use of water from the James River with certain qualifications to protect senior water rights and other water uses. The draft report detailing the proposed management plans available, and then there's a web URL, along with links to send comments for consideration by the board. Comments may also be mailed in. We give them the mailing address. And comments need to be received no later than Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. A hard copy of the draft report may be requested by calling us or emailing us. The board will consider comments and adoption of an updated James River Water Management Plan at the board's December 4th, 2024 meeting. A link to listen to the live stream of the meeting will be available at SD.net. If you wish to address the board, you may participate by attending the meeting in peer or connecting remotely. The board agenda and remote participation details will be made available on the South Dakota Boards and Commissions portal, and then we provide the link. So that's the information we would like to provide to people. There is no statute saying that we need to do this. We just think it would be a really good idea, given the fact that we're looking at going above this 300 cubic feet of water threshold, to let people know what's going on. And so if they do have any comments, collect those comments and then provide them to the board in this report, perhaps as it is right now, or perhaps maybe with some tweaks and changes between now and then, depending on comments that we receive. And then at the December board meeting, the board make a decision whether or not to adopt a new management plan for the James River. So today what we're looking for is the board's permission to proceed with putting this out for public input.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Any questions from the board members?
Chairman Huffmacher, I have a question or two.
Mr. Comas, please.
Mr. Duvall, do you anticipate perhaps a technical review, if you will, from some of the those parties which will be sent, or even those solicited by the newspaper advertisements, sort of a technical review per se from any engineering firms or any consultants that may have maybe hired by interested parties, or I'll pause there, and then I maybe some follow-ups depending on,
okay,
you know, what your thoughts are.
I'm certainly not anticipating that to happen, but I could see there could be existing water right holders that may be concerned with the, if at the back of the report, we've got some suggested flow bypasses for new permits that are issued. There may be existing permit holders that think those numbers are too low. There may be people who want to get new permits that think those numbers are too high. So what we'll find out when we solicit comments, I honestly don't know. And I don't know whether anybody is going to take our report and hand it to a consulting firm and say, what do you think? They may do that.
Okay. Also, maybe as we're preparing for that meeting, and I apologize if you stated it, but you stated that you'll have responses to the comments. But my question is, should people provide comments? You'd indicated you'll tabulate those comments. Would it be possible to put a deadline on when those comments are received? That would give your team an opportunity to review those comments and perhaps to have a response written so the board can see the comment and the response. And then within the response, you may or may not just, you know, say that this resulted in a change here or change there or so on. What would you think of that? What do you think of that question?
The notice is going to include a deadline to submit comments, and that's going to be Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. We're also indicating that when people submit comments, if they are seeking a response, to let us know in their comment that they would like to hear back from us. The reason for the November 20th, 24 deadline date is so that we can get those comments and any responses that we make in the board packet, so that you've got an opportunity to see all that information before the December 4th board meeting arrives. So there will be a deadline, and we will respond
okay.
to comments if people request responses and provide that all to you.
Okay.
What about, or how are you going to deal with, comments that are raised during the public comment period, to the extent there are any? So you can have, like, for example, you have a deadline that's set in your notice, but that wouldn't preclude people from coming to the public comment period and having comment on the issue.
No. In fact, we're going to say in the notice, our intent to say in the notice, that if people want to participate in the hearing, they can do that. And there's not going to be any requirement that they file a comment in order to do that, at least not from my perspective. I suppose we could try and do that if that's the board's pleasure and say, if you want to participate, you need to let us know. But right now, it's not drafted that way.
I would probably not do that. Because I mean, at the end of the day, if people want to come and make public comment, they have that right.
Right.
So I don't think it would be prudent to say, hey, if you wanna participate, you have to file by X date, otherwise you're gonna be excluded, because they have that right to come and comment at their leisure, essentially. So
that does set up Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Comas, go ahead.
Would that not set up a scenario with commenters which may be present? Sort of a active exchange during the meeting, which could be complicated. It could be lengthy. I'm not saying that either of those are a problem, but ultimately, which may delay an action item by the board, should any of those comments be deemed substantial.
The board could certainly, if that does happen and there's some things that require some extra study or contemplation, there's no reason that the board couldn't just simply defer action on adopting the plan at that time or modify it. In fact, the plan that's going to be put out, there's a link, there's going to be a cover sheet to it, pretty much with this notice that I just read, but also indicating that the board has the option to adopt it as recommended, to adopt with modifications, to take no action or to not adopt it. So I think all those avenues are open to the board.
Okay.
I would agree with David. I don't think we ought to try to restrict it and just let them, if they want to show up and comment, to do that. And if we have to defer it one meeting, we'll defer it one meeting. Any more questions from the board?
Our intention also, just to be clear, would be to bring those deferred applications back up for consideration at the December board meeting with our recommendations based upon what we think we should do. But again, that does not mean the board can't defer those applications as well until whatever needs to be sorted out is sorted out.
This is Rodney. I've got one additional, or I have a question, Jim, if I might.
Go ahead.
Ron, do we have to, if we're going to do away with the old threshold, do we have to take some official action as a board to rescind the 1965 action by that commission, Water Commission?
I don't think so. If you look in the report, this 300 CFS threshold was actually breached, if you will, back in the 80s. And then I went out there in the early 80s and inspected permits, and I think it was 400 some odd cubic feet of water per second was actually appropriated on the James River back in the 80s. And then I did inspections of the whole river back then, and the number dropped back down below 300 cubic feet of water per second, and now we're back up to it. I don't know that there was any official board action that allowed it to go above 400. I think we just did it. And in fact, if you look in the report, when that original 300 cubic feet of water per second threshold was set, there was anticipation that you could potentially go above that with certain qualifications to protect the senior water right holder. So that was even contemplated in 1965 that this could happen.
Okay.
Thank you. If I may, this is David. The cap at 300 CFS, was that done by official board action? Meaning, was there a motion, second, vote, that there is this official policy, essentially?
Well, there were applications that were being held or deferred at the time, and then this whole conversation was had. But I don't know if there was an official action. Eric, do you have something in there? Okay. This is from the minutes. Mr. Driscoll remarked it's a recommendation of the staff that the above stipulation be included in each of the 8 applications for proposed diversion from the James River to be heard at this meeting. After discussion, Mr. Sutton moved, seconded by Mr. Brew, that the procedure as outlined in the report be adopted for diversions from the James River. Motion carried unanimously.
So, that being the case, so there's an existing board action setting our current policy. So I would suggest that any motion on this would either both rescind the prior policy. I probably wouldn't rescind the prior policy. What I would probably do is make an official assertion as part of the motion that the new policy is supplementing or taking the place of the old policy. Like, I wouldn't want to rescind it, retroactively, essentially, but to rescind it as of the date of the motion to set new policy would be prudent. Otherwise, you're going to have conflicting official policy.
Yeah, I think a motion to memorialize a board decision is a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would make specific reference to the old policy and say that this new policy supersedes, you know what I mean? Because
yep.
I don't want to have conflicting official board policies such that the new one would supersede the old. I mean, just from a housekeeping perspective.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Coleman.
Maybe a question for David. Would it be appropriate to draft a resolution, and I'm approaching this as a resolution is simply a more formal motion. I may not have stated that correctly in the vernacular, but would it be appropriate for a resolution to be proposed, which clearly states it? So we're not coming up with a motion ad hoc.
That might be prudent. To have something prepared in advance. The complexity of preparing something in advance, though, supposes approval, and it kind of detracts from the concept of the board having the time to process comment. So while it might be cleaner that way, I'm not sure that suits the intent of the board comment and contemplation. That is not to say that if the board were to, want to approve or do whatever the board's going to do, to reduce that to a writing for approval by the board, that would take 2 meetings instead of 1. But if that was something the board would be inclined to do, to clearly set policy, it could be done. I'm just not sure it could be done at the same meeting. That would take time to draft.
This is Ron again. If you look at the end of the report, you're going to see suggested qualifications for each street stretch of the James River. It would seem appropriate to me that if those numbers are the numbers that are arrived at, the motion could be in the form of adopting those as qualifications for new permits to appropriate water from the James River. And that lays out the cubic feet of water per second for new permits and what have you. Something along those lines.
Thank you.
Well, and I can also, I can see the scenario where we may put a, change the minimum flow rates and raise those up and then maybe put a time period of 10 years to revisit that again too. Keep an eye on that and check it, make sure it's doing good. I don't know how much confusion that adds to it, but that may be a way for us to get, take a chance to take a look at it again down the road and make sure we're right.
That's probably prudent. And, you know, when you're dealing with the concept of actually setting a policy, it makes sense to take the time to lay out what the parameters of that policy is going to be, having a concept of, you know, revisiting it, et cetera. Because which at the end of the day, you want to have a clean policy that guides potential applicants and also provides the board with that basis in the, you know, going future and say, be able to measure any application against the policy that you set. So that the cleaner that policy can be and more defined, the better.
Well, and I agree. The thing about the cutoff date or going back to revisit it is people investing money into an irrigation system with only maybe 2 years left or whatever the thing might be that, you know, it's going to get taken away from me then. Well, I'm not going to want to invest a bunch of money if I could lose that permit in 2 years. Okay, more questions of Ron or David on the James River?
This is Dixon. If I may, Ron, how many have we deferred?
14 applications. I think it's around 30-some CFS of water, 35 or something like that, for all 14 combined.
And
it's all the same people, too.
Okay, so then the process that you would see happening would be that they would all be notified that at their applications will be coming up at the December meeting or
yeah.
or whenever.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, automatically take care of it.
Yeah, we would provide notice of hearing. It's a lot of applications, but it's two different sets of people. We would provide them notice that their applications are going to be reconsidered. We would be guessing on the recommended qualification of what actually happens at the December 4th meeting, but if necessary, they could continue to be deferred, or the recommendation could be modified at the December board meeting and the permits approved, if that's necessary.
Okay, thank you.
Any more comments or questions from the board? More questions. I can't see us getting this all done in one meeting personally, but stranger things have happened. Okay, hearing none, the only other thing I have that I want to say is on behalf of the board and the staff, I would thank Tim Bjork for his years of service to the Water Management Board and the citizens of the state of South Dakota.
I would certainly hear that.
I echo that, and I wish him well.
Yes, I think we all do.
If I may intercede for one moment, and this goes back to the James River matter, I think the program would appreciate an affirmative go-ahead to proceed with their publications as Ron described, and et cetera. Whether by motion or a voice vote. I don't know that one needs a roll call, but just some sort of affirmative direction to the program that allows them to move forward as described.
Go ahead, Rod.
I was just going to say I'm thoroughly in agreement to proceed as outlined in the report and by Ron. I think it's a good idea, and I think we're obligated to move forward.
Yeah, and I think it's cleaner if we just do a motion and a roll call vote.
Then I would so move.
Thank you for the motion. Is there a second to the motion to proceed with the James River study?
Dixon, second.
Second by Ms. Dixon. Further discussion on the motion? Further discussion to proceed with the study on the James River. Hearing none, Secretary will please call the roll.
Comas?
Aye.
Dixon?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
And Pelt-Mager?
Aye. Motion carried. Do we have anything else that needs to be done?
I think we're done.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Dixon.
Motion by Dixon. I don't know who seconded, but.
Freeman,
second. All in favor, vote aye.
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 We are adjourned.